This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. This show contains spoilers, so if you don't want to know, you shouldn't listen. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. You can email feedback to Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I've been thinking a lot about one subject. And that is the failure of Stargate Universe. And I'm not about to talk on and on about Stargate Universe once again. It just baffles me that it barely lasted two seasons, you know, when other installments have lasted. I think the other shortest one was Atlantis. And that lasted, what, four or five? I don't even know. And it surprises me because out of everything that I've seen so far, an average episode of Stargate Universe was better than an average, well, than the one episode of Stargate Atlantis that I saw, and better than the entire first season of Stargate SG-1. And I'm not about to continue to slam on Stargate, but it just, I don't know, I've just been thinking about why, you know. The only thing I can think of, and this is something that I read, is that some people say that people are just tired of Stargate, that after, what, 16 years, 17 years, enough was enough. And I don't know if I necessarily believe that, you know, because Star Trek got a nice little run going. But I think that the one thing with Star Trek is that they also, and I'm not including the original Star Trek, but I'm talking about the Next Generation and beyond series. They switched it up, you know. And that's one thing that, at least that's what, on the surface, it appears to me that Stargate did a little too late, you know. With Star Trek Next Generation, they were on the same familiar ship, you know, familiarly named ship. And they were just out, you know, exploring and getting into mischief and mayhem. And then when they did the first spinoff, it was on a set station, you know, which was drastically different, you know. If Star Trek was supposed to be, what, Wagon Train in space, Next Generation was, you know, it kind of continued that tradition of exploration. You know, it continued the whole Wagon Train in space. And if you never saw Wagon Train, it was a Western about a bunch of people who were going, you know, going west, young man. And Star Trek Deep Space Nine was, I don't know, I guess more like Gunsmoke, in that it took place in the same setting, you know, every episode. But not kind of like Gunsmoke, because there was a lot more going on, you know. There was a lot more political intrigue going on with the with Deep Space Nine. And I liked it because it's sort of, even though you had the same type of familiar uniforms and a lot of the familiar races of characters, Klingons, I don't know, the guys with the big ears, I can't remember what their names are now, and the same familiar technology, it was different, you know, it was something different. And then when they decided, okay, we're going to go back out into space with Voyager, they took, once again, a pretty familiar setting, which was the, you know, the ship of a starship. You know, the bridge of a starship is where most of the stories took place. But they took them out of the familiar galaxy that we were used to and put them in a whole new quadrant, a whole new set of storylines and adventures. And to tell you the truth, it was still basically Star Trek, only they didn't have the luxury of being able to call on Starfleet Command or whatever it is, you know. And that lasted quite a bit. And then I think the only mistake that they made with the Star Trek franchise happened after Voyager when they did Enterprise. Now, a lot of people don't like Enterprise, but I'm not one of them. I actually liked Enterprise. Because it showed, like, a lot of the origins of the stuff that we were being shown in previous series. But what they did was, you know, what they're showing how, you know, how we got to a lot of the stuff, and, you know, and I dug that. But they didn't really offer anything new beyond that. It was pretty much Star Trek, Next Generation, and Voyager, just basically with old technology, you know, and let's face it, the old technology of Enterprise looked a lot better than the old, than the futuristic technology of the original Star Trek, you know. And then they just stopped with the Star Trek franchise on television to concentrate on movies. And what I really thought they were going to do, in fact, this was kind of hinted at before they announced Enterprise, I thought they were going to do something like, you know, Starfleet Academy, which would have been kind of cool to see, you know, training these future officers and stuff like that. And that could have opened up a whole new different set of possibilities, you know. But they decided to go in a whole different way, and now it just seems to me, at least, they've given up on TV to go to the movies because that's where the money is. But, you know, doesn't really make sense, because for the most part, until you got to you know, Generations, the movie franchise was alongside of, kind of, but a little bit off to the, you know, it was alongside, but still away from what was going on TV, you know. That's why when you heard a lot of people complaining about Enterprise, a lot of times they were comparing it to stuff that happened in the movies. In fact, I heard people complaining about certain things that happened in First Contact. I'm thinking to myself, but that's the movie universe, you know? And so, I don't know. But I wish it, Stargate Universe had been able to get more of a chance, because I don't know. It just seems that people gave up on it, right? Oh, it's too much like Battlestar Galactica, and then they just gave up on it. And it's like, well, no, it's not like Battlestar Galactica. Just because something is on a starship and it's filmed with a lot of dark colors doesn't mean that it's like any other thing that's filmed with, you know, on a starship with dark colors. But, oh well, like I said, people just gave up on it. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, you know, because it was the best sci-fi show on TV. Now I got to see what they're going to offer up next, you know. I'm trying to think, because right now, for ongoing shows, I guess that mantle would probably fall to Eureka. Eureka? Well, you know what? I take the bag. It depends on how this new season of Doctor Who shapes up. Because I saw the Christmas episode, and I thought that the Christmas episode... It was everything that I dislike about time travel stories, you know. The one thing that I almost liked was the fact that you could see Doctor Who making changes to the past, and this guy was saying, you know, I completely forgot that happened. You know, like, new memories were being added. And if I spoil something, I apologize. I'm just all I'm going to mention it. Other than to say that I thought that the first part of the show was very slow. But it was all set up. And at the end, like I said, it just... All the problems that I have with sci-fi time travel stories are right there. Right on display. But at the end, they had a little... you know, coming up this, you know, on the next season of Doctor Who, and it looked pretty interesting, even though they are finally making a big deal about being filmed in America. You know, Doctor Who comes to America, even though, you know, Doctor Who routinely comes to America. You know, I guess people forgot about Daleks take Manhattan storyline that, like, what happened, like, wasn't last year, but it was, like, the year before last, you know? I mean, yeah, Doctor Who was, like, theoretically just here. You know, we will see. But to tell you the truth, I think Star Trek is the one that has had the most success with spinoffs when it comes to sci-fi shows. Let me think. Babylon 5 worked excellent as a television show. A lot of those Babylon 5 movies, I will be perfectly honest with you, there were like, what, 3-4 of them? I was unable to stay awake. You know, each and every one that I tried to watch, I know I fell asleep on all of them. And Crusade, yeah. Like I said, as a TV show, it worked excellent. And to tell you the truth, with some of the spinoffs, such as the comic books and the actual novels, the books, they worked to me, you know. If you listen to Sci-Fi Dig, last year he, being Aaron, had a caller who broke down short stories in a magazine. I can't remember which magazine it was. And those worked, you know. And I think that those all worked. You know, those quote-unquote licensed products. I think that the reason that they worked better than, for example, a lot of the Star Wars or Star Trek novels is that the way I understood it is that Joe Michael Straczynski decided that anything official, anything that had the official stamp of approval would all be in continuity, you know, all part of canon. I don't know the difference between canon and continuity, but it would all be legitimate, you know. And so that's why all the stories had to fit into a certain moment in the timeline where it wouldn't conflict with something else, okay? And that's not something that a lot of other official products do. Star Wars, for example. I mean, to me, it's a perfect example. There's the movies, there's the comic book universes, the video game universes, and the way I understand, they're all separate. you know, unless there's a comic book based on a video game. But they have nothing to do with the movies. And the movie is notorious for just, like, neglecting the other works. Perfect example is the Marvel comic book. After, like, the first, was it six issues? Where they did the novelization of the movie Star Wars, they started telling their own stories. They introduced cyborgs, and they introduced other Sith lords, and they, which of course was completely undone in the prequels. It said there can only be like one, like two Sith lords, a master and a student, which I think it's so damn powerful. Then why are they so scared if there's only two of them at each at any time? All you gotta do is find them and kill them. Boom. Yeah, you kill the master. The student becomes a master. But hey, and just go ahead and kill the student and kill both of them. Who cares? You know. But a story that I never read explained how Darth Vader killed Luke's father. Okay, and this was before Empire Strikes Back, and it's like, oh, okay, here's an untold story that they, you know, that I never read, but, you know, that they didn't get around to telling. And then completely undone when the next movie came out. And you know that somebody at Marvel had to be like, you son of a bitch. You could at least gave us a heads up not to do this story. But, they didn't. That's why I have absolutely no problem with Star Wars being, to me, different universes. In fact, some people don't see it this way, but this is the way I see it. There are two movie universes, okay? There's the movie universe of the prequel, of the prequels, episodes 1 through 3, and then there is a totally different universe that really has no impact on the on those first three movies, and it's episodes 4 through 6. Now, if you look at the special edition, the Return of the Jedi special edition, they kind of screwed with that by putting in a young Anakin Skywalker, which kind of makes sense, but meh, you know. Yeah, so that's how I see it. And then, of course, there's the novels, and then there's the movies. There's two movie universes. There's the novels, which are kind of like Dungeons and Dragons at this point, where don't look for continuity, just read the story and go about your merry little way. Same thing with the comic books. You know, there's the Marvel universes, and then there's the Dark Horse universes. And notice how I'm saying universes because they all seem like branch out. Anyway, Star Trek is the same way. Their books. And their comic books have nothing to do with the movies. Let's see, who else? Actually, Doctor Who's spinoffs are a little bit more tight with Doctor Who. You know, Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures, they don't try to step on things too much, you know. However, one thing that I don't understand is why so many people in Torchwood act like they don't know what... Torchwood is just really weird, because I thought Torchwood was supposed to be some sort of a secret society, secret branch of the government, and yet everybody seems to know who they are. And even if they don't know who they are, people always act surprised when aliens are taking over the world, because in the Torchwood Whoverse, has an Earthman taken over about 5 or 6 times now? I know that the Master took it over at least once. There was the whole thing with the with the Daleks and the Cybermen taking over the planet. And I know that it happened on Torchwood at least once, with the Children of Earth miniseries. And it's just like, really? So why are people still so surprised, you know? That to me is like when during the 90s when DC would try to do like these X-Files type stories set in the DC universe. And it's like, really? They already know that there are aliens. You know, Superman is an alien. Martian Manhunter is an alien. So why are they so surprised when things go like bump in the night, you know? One of the stories for Fantastic Four's, the Fantastic Four had a Marvel Knights series just called Four. And one of the things they went to a couple of members of the Fantastic Four went on a camping trip and they ran into aliens, you know, and I think I want to say it was like the Badoon or something, but these were aliens that these guys had that recognized, I think. And I kind of like that because it's like, okay, well, we know these are aliens. Because can you imagine being part of an alien advanced squad? You come down, you land in this in the woods, and you run across the Fantastic Four, who chances are have already, you know, beaten your ace's ass a couple times. So I was kind of thought that was kind of funny, but I don't know. With it just always just takes me by surprise in the whole Doctor U universe when people act like they don't know these things that are going on. It's like, wow, really? You guys really don't pay attention, you know? So, I don't know. Who else has had a crossover, though? Those are like the big ones. Star Trek, Star Wars, Babylon 5. X-Files tried, but they didn't really try too hard. They just had the Lone Gunman. Who knows? You know, I wish it... The TV show Space Above and Beyond had really gotten a good opportunity to grow, but it was a Chris Carter thing, and he likes to slowly develop his stories, you know, and we'll just have to see where it goes. Anyway, I can't think of anybody else. Anyway, go ahead and send me an email, Derek at deliberatenoise.com, is D-E-R-E-K, or call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. Let me know what you think. Take it easy. I'm gonna go to